something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Wednesday, June 16th. I'm Oscar Ramirez from the Daily Dive podcast in Los Angeles, and this is Reopening America. A new study done by the National Institutes of Health is showing that in five states, some people were infected with COVID-19 before those states recorded their first cases. Blood samples collected between January and March of 2020 were tested for antibodies. Out of 24,000 samples, 9 came back positive. Betsy McKay, senior writer at the Wall Street Journal, joins us for more. Thanks for joining us today, Betsy.
Thanks for having me.
We have a new research study that was done by the National Institutes of Health that turned up evidence of a possible coronavirus infection in the United States, multiple ones actually, as early as December 2019, maybe sometime around Christmas time. And so these are all weeks before the first documented infections in the country and even in those particular states as well. So Betsy, walk us through some of this. What do we know? What are we learning?
So the NIH has a big research program that you and listeners may have heard of, called the All of Us Research Program. And its goal is to enroll 1 million people across the country of diverse backgrounds, and through the database that they built from that, to study risk factors for disease and treatments and so forth. So they're building this big database of blood samples and so forth from people, volunteers who enroll. So what they decided to do is use the blood samples that they have collected so far to look at this kind of growing question of interest. You know, how early did the pandemic reach U.S. shores? When did people first start getting sick? Because we know the first person to be, you know, formally diagnosed was in late January, around January 19th. But that was right after a test became available. So the CDC, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, develops a test. It's made, you know, available in its lab, and boom, 2 days later, someone has this. So that raises the question of, well, are they really the first person or not? So these researchers went through and tested blood samples going back to the beginning of January.
As you mentioned, this program had nothing to do with COVID. We didn't really know about it then. So this is just a program that had been ongoing. I think out of 24,000, a little over 24,000 participants, they found evidence of infection in just 9 people. That suggests a number of different things. What they did find, though, also is that in 5 states, Illinois, Massachusetts, Mississippi, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, they had people that showed evidence of infection. And that was all before, you know, anybody had gotten in those first states. Big areas like California and New York, there were no infections that turned up, at least in these blood samples.
What they found was that people, you know, they looked at blood samples going back into early January. And what they were looking for were antibodies in the blood. These are blood samples that were taken at the time, and then they're frozen and stored for research later. So the researchers go back, they test the blood for antibodies using 2 different tests to make sure that it really is the COVID-19 virus called SARS-CoV-2 and not something else. So they found, you know, one person on January 7th, one person on January 8th, And the antibodies they found normally start to appear about 2 weeks after someone is infected. So that means those two people, one in Illinois and one in Massachusetts, were likely infected around December 24th, or maybe a little bit earlier. Then they went later in time through March. And, you know, 24,000 samples, as you said, they only found 9 cases. So what that shows is that certainly the virus was here earlier than we knew before, and a couple of studies have shown that now. But it wasn't, you know, not in large numbers. I mean, these were kind of like sporadic cases. And that happens often with infectious diseases, you know, something that causes an outbreak. There's a few cases here, a case there, and then eventually something takes hold and it starts to spread. Right. But until then, there are these cases that are missed.
Community spread is what a lot of people, the term that was floating around very early on in the pandemic. And this shows that there really wasn't much of that, despite, you know, a lot of people anecdotally saying, oh man, I got sick so bad around that time. It sounds just exactly like this. You know, a lot of people were saying that, but even in this kind of study, you know, looking at that data might not have been so true. People still might have just gotten regular colds around that time. One of the limitations in this study, and something that they wanted to look back into a little bit more, was that they don't really show travel history for these people, these 9 people that did have those infections. So I think they wanted to dig in a little bit more to see if they had traveled to China or contact with anybody from there around that time also.
There's very little actually known about these people and how they might have gotten infected. What this means is, looking back to that period, if you had some symptoms, the chances are that no, you didn't have COVID, but these aren't the only 9 people, right? I mean, they may
exactly.
have spread it to 1 or 2 other people. There are other people who may have had this and, you know, weren't involved in this study, but it wasn't in such large numbers that it would have been noticed, you know, that a hospital would have started noticing they were getting a lot of patients with the same strange symptoms. Sorry. So it just wasn't big enough at the time.
Yeah. And so we got this new data that I know you mentioned in the article, there was another study that had similar results in just showing that obviously we didn't have the COVID test ready to go when we started seeing the first inklings of it. So it was kind of expected that we were going to see some of these other infections floating around earlier than some of these first confirmed cases.
When the test first became available in January, because there weren't a lot of tests and there weren't a lot of labs that could do it, and then later because there was a problem with the test, the public health authorities focused testing on people who had been to China or another country where there was COVID-19 spreading. So you and others may remember this, people who, you know, in February of 2020, thought they had COVID-like symptoms, but they hadn't traveled anywhere and they, you know, hadn't had contact with anyone who was known to have COVID-19, literally couldn't get a test. Now what we know is there were other people. You didn't have to travel to China and there were people who weren't terribly ill. So the point, or one of the points here, is that is the importance of having a test that's widely available and not restricting your criteria for the test. That anybody with symptoms or who may have had contact should be able to get a test rather than limiting it to somebody who was in a place where the disease was spreading.
Well, for now, like you said, just another piece to this puzzle, trying to figure out the earliest days of the pandemic and everything related to it, its origins, all of that. We're still finding out more. Betsy McKay, senior writer at the Wall Street Journal, thank you very much for joining us.
It's good to be with you. Thank you.
I'm Oscar Ramirez, and this has been Reopening America. Don't forget that for today's big news stories, you can check me out on the Daily Dive podcast every Monday through Friday. So follow us on iHeartRadio or wherever you get your podcast.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford. a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia. And I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.